So who with the resistance?
Hello, what have we here?
I'm a big deal in the resistance.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 92. Hope you enjoyed our last show, because this week it's all about the mid-season trailer of Star Wars Rebels. The final season. The final episodes. Oh man, gets my heart going. I'm excited to see this. There's so much in it. It's awesome. Anyway, as always, I am Mikey B, and I'm joined by my co-host, Caitlin. Hey, Caitlin.
Hello.
No, witty combat. Just hello.
Just hello.
Is it like Hoth over there?
Actually, no, we have a weird, like, thaw period right now, which I'm okay with.
Oh, that's good. It's cold here. Yeah. I got snow on the ground. I came back and I was like, what's this? I was swimming yesterday. Today there's snow. Oh, well. Anyway.
Yeah, not sympathetic at all here. Sorry.
Oh, it's all right. Anyway, if you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at Our Radio Podcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or send us an email through our website, resistanceradio.net. You can also leave a comment when this post goes up on hypeable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. And you want to do that soon, because starting soon, we're going to go into all of the Journey to the Last Jedi books, because we haven't done our book breakdown yet. So those should be coming up soon in the next couple weeks. We've also launched our Patreon. Check it out at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Some cool perks include joining us on Discord chat, where you'll be able to join me and Caitlin and Danya and everyone else and talk to us and join us there. You can come to the recording studio, listen live, and hear all the bad outtakes that I have to do and edit out because I can't get through reading my notes. We also have After Dark episodes, which we're way overdue to do a new one, and I have some interesting ideas we should do for it. But if you can't support us via Patreon, that's okay. We also have merch available on our website with t-shirts and buttons available. Check that out at resistanceradio.net. So I think it's time for the news. So Caitlin, I have some really exciting news. We just gave away a copy of Stormtroopers Beyond the Armor. We had the two authors on the show a couple weeks back. And we had an extra copy to give away. So that was really exciting. I don't know if you saw that we were giving that away. I don't think we talked about it on the show, but we gave away a copy, which I think is really awesome. And we have
awesome.
I know. And now we are starting, as of today, Sunday. Well, today's actually Friday, but we're going to release this episode on Sunday. As of Sunday, we are going to be giving another contest. It's going to run for 2 weeks. All you have to do is go to either Hypeable or ResistanceRadio.net, and you'll be able to go ahead and enter in to win a copy of Star Wars The Rebel Files, which is a really cool book. It's a coffee table book, something you really want, but we're going to be giving away the deluxe edition, which looks amazing. I don't have the deluxe edition because it's kind of expensive, but we're going to be giving away a deluxe edition, so go ahead and enter there. It's pretty easy. It's just a link you click on, fill out some information, and you might win. So we're giving away a really cool Star Wars book for free. So I think I'm excited for that. I don't know about you, Caitlin. Yeah? No?
Well, I'm not the one getting it, so...
I'm not saying you can't enter, Caitlin.
I'm excited for the winner. How about that?
One thing I do have to say, because I was talking to the publisher about it, this contest is going to be only for U.S. residents. Sorry, Caitlin. I was kind of waiting to, you know... but yeah, it is going to be only for U.S. residents, mainly because apparently shipping, because it's such a heavy, big book. Yeah, they're not able to ship it internationally. But it is for U.S. residents, so go ahead, check it out on our website, resistanceradio.net. It should probably be one of the top posts, so you can click a link and join us through our Rafflecopter widget. So, we've also missed a week of recording, and that's partially my fault, because I went out of town. I went to visit my family in California. And in Southern California, I got to do two things, Caitlin, that I need to talk about. Secrets of the Empire. Do you remember when we talked about Secrets of the Empire from ILM at Labs?
Vaguely.
I'm gonna give you a link to it just so you can see it again. But Secrets of the Empire is one of the coolest things I have ever seen. And if you are in Southern California, Anaheim, if you are in Florida or in London, because I know Donya's going to do it when she goes to London soon. Do it.
Oh, right.
You have to do it. Like, just do it. I cannot say enough thing. This is Secrets of the Empire is a, how do they describe it? It is a full immersive, full sensory immersive VR experience. It's kind of awesome. So I got to do this. I went with my wife. My mom was watching the baby while we were there. And we did this on this mission. So it's a group of four, a team of four. You go in and you literally are a team. And the story is you actually get, and actually there's new footage with Cassie and Andor. So like you have Diego Luna kind of you like this, you know, kind of prep you what's going on. And he tells you, you guys are going to go undercover to try to find out the secret, you know, weapon that the Empire is building. In my mind, I'm like, oh, it's going to be a kyber crystal because we've seen this in Rebels and stuff. It's not a kyber crystal. I won't tell you what it is. You have to do it to find out. Or you can like message me on like social media and I'll tell you if you really wanted to know. But it's really cool. Yeah. So Cassian Andor tells you you're going to go in. You're going to be dressed as stormtroopers to try to blend in. So don't interact with, you know, don't cause commotion. And you get to step up and you get to pick like what color armor. Like obviously it's white stormtrooper armor, but you're going to have like accent colors, like a shock trooper, if you will. I got to pick green, and my wife chose yellow. And then the other two people we were, they both chose purple. I think they wanted to be able to identify each other. So I was like, okay, that's cool. So you go in, and you have this really cool, like this, you have this big backpack, this backpack on. I'm sure it's like a mini computer and everything. And this full-on headset, like it covers your ears. It's got like big old headphones. And then the VR headset that you like lock in. And it's got built-in microphones so you can talk to your squad, if you will, to the four of you. And you know, they give you some like real like safety stuff and what not to do. And like, if you don't see it, but it's full on VR. Like as soon as you get in the room, like the room just like disappears and it becomes like just, it's just ridiculous. And then like everyone does this. Like I put my hands right in front of me. And as soon as I put my hands and I turned them around, they were gloved in stormtrooper armor. It was really cool. And then obviously I look around, I see everyone else in the stormtrooper costumes and whatnot. I look over at my wife and I had to make the joke. I'm like, aren't you a little short to be a stormtrooper? Cause she's like 5 foot. but it was really great. And then like you walked, I will say it, because it's full sensory and I'm sure you're safe. I don't know what the room like looked like that you walk through. Cause it's not just like VR where you look around, you play a game and stuff. You are actually walking and moving and going through doors and stuff. I don't know if doors actually exist or you just like are not going through because there's, you know, there's a virtual door in front of you and you wait till it opens. But I know there's actual things you interact with because we had to hit like combinations of buttons and stuff. You end up picking up blasters and you shoot a bunch of stormtroopers. I don't know why the stormtroopers couldn't hit me because I was able to hit them. Maybe I just have better accuracy than stormtroopers. But Vader shows up and he totally wrecked my blaster and almost killed me. Luckily, K2 saved us in the end. And of course, we completed our secret mission. It's really cool. Like, actually, supposedly, I was talking to him. It does change based on what you do. And of course, for me, like, I spotted instantly the cameras that were, like, in, you know, A New Hope in the detention block. You know, those six kind of weird, that weird six, you know, group of six cameras and stuff like that, that, you know, Han shoots out in the detention block scene. I instantly saw those in a couple of rooms. I shot them. And then, like, K2 over the walk is like, good job. With those cameras down, they probably won't be able to find you for a while. So, apparently, we didn't fight as many stormtroopers as we could have because I took out, like, a lot of the cameras as we were going. So, I almost wanted to do it a second time just not to shoot the cameras and just make sure no one shoots the cameras just to see what happens. But it sold out. Like, this thing is, like, book solid. So if you're going on a trip to Disney World or you're going to Anaheim to go to Disneyland or in Westfield, London, buy your tickets in advance. Choose a time and go. It really is amazing. Like reviews from Time says the future of virtual reality, The Verge, it's going to blow their minds. Forbes says hard to explain how cool it is. It really is cool. It's full immersive VR. And you're actually walking around picking up things. Like we ended up picking up blasters to shoot and stuff. It was really cool. And the really cool thing about this, though, is it's one of those things where it gives you an idea of what's going to happen at Disneyland, at Galaxy's Edge. So without going into too much detail, I have lots of friends that work at Disney. And I got to go into Disneyland and learn a little bit more about Galaxy's Edge. And I can't talk about all of it yet, but it was talking to the people at The Void and the people at Disney, and what you see in Secrets of the Empire is going to be something that you'll experience in the theme parks once Galaxy's Edge opens. So this VR interaction thing is something that is going to be there. I have a feeling this is going to be the Millennium Falcon ride, because remember, one of the press releases are you'll get to actually fly the Millennium Falcon. So I think this is kind of what you're going to do, is you're going to be like the group of people, and you're going to be like maybe the turret gunner in the Falcon or something like that through full on VR. So I have a feeling this is what it's going to be, but it's pretty cool as an experience. The nice part is this Secrets in the Empire is actually going to be a permanent fixture both at Disney World and Downtown Disney outside the parks. So people can experience this Star Wars attraction without actually having to pay to go into the parks. So this is not something that's going to be part of Galaxy's Edge, but it's going to be kind of an augment to it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
But yeah, so this is really cool. If anyone is going to be in any of those areas, I definitely encourage you to plan around it, make it one of your days. It is only about a 15-minute experience, so it's like a 15-minute ride, if you will, but you're not actually riding anything, you're just experiencing it. It takes about a half hour total, because they do go over safety stuff and whatnot, and if you feel sick or anything like that, but a total three of us went on it, and a couple of their friends had previously done it, and were eagerly waiting for me to tell them what I thought of it. And, of course, none of us had gotten sick. Doesn't mean that it can't happen, but it was pretty cool. Also, along with that, going into Disney, Disneyland and Disney World have updated the Star Tours ride. And this just happened last week, or 2 weeks ago when I was there. They updated the Star Tours ride to be the newest version of it that includes stuff from Force Awakens, The Last Jedi, and gives us our first glimpse of what it looks like to land inside Galaxy's Edge. And so I got to be there and see it, which was really cool. Have you ever ridden Star Tours at Disney World or Disneyland, Caitlin?
When I was 7.
There you go. So here's the thing is, the ride itself, the physical experience hasn't changed on Star Tours. You still go in, it's still got a lot of bad jokes with C-3PO and R2-D2, which is something I love. No more Captain Rex. If you remember who Captain Rex was, it was his first flight, and probably ours too. But yeah, so, you know, it's the same type of ride, except you start off at a First Order base, trying to leave the First Order base, and they know that we're a Resistance spy, so it's no longer a Rebel spy, a Resistance spy. And Kylo Ren and a bunch of Stormtroopers are there to stop us, and we have to blast our way out, and we escape. And then we fly and we land in Jakku, where you're going through, and there's a really cool flight through a Star Destroyer, and you see Finn on the screen saying, "Star Tours, what are you doing here?" "All right." And then you help him take out some of the TIE fighters that are there. He tells you to stay low to the ground because it confuses the tracking. And then as you get out of that, you end up landing on Crait, and you're literally at the last battle. You see all the AT-M6 walkers. You see Kylo Ren's command ship. You see ski speeders, and you have, like, you know, Poe then comes on screen. It's like, "Star Tours, great, we need your help." And he tells you to, like, help take out some of the, you know, the shield generator and stuff like that. So you were literally on Crait. You fly through the crystalline, the red crystalline stuff that you saw the Falcon fly through when Finn tells you that they really hate that ship. So it's really cool there. And then after you get away from all that, it's really funny, is I think Luke Skywalker pops up, but don't quote me on that, because I was waiting to see if, like, you can see it, but obviously the ship is moving and stuff like that. But you end up flying away from there, and you land at Galaxy's Edge, a safe haven for the Resistance, is what they called it. So that's the update to Star Tour. So it was really cool for me to be able to experience that. I was just happened to be going right when all this was changing. I may or may not have planned that, because I may have known. But yes, if you get a chance to go to Disneyland or Disney World, or if you're going to be in London, check out Secrets of the Empire from the Void. And then also the Star Tours update is really cool. If you get a chance, go ride it. Let us know what you think about it. Any questions on that? Yeah, Caitlin, sorry. I know that's like a news item, but not really. It's like a news website.
I had a question, because, like, you were saying that the, like, virtual reality, it was for half hour. What was the price?
It was $30. It's $29 is what it cost.
Like a dollar a minute.
Yeah. And honestly, like, it's pricey. It's pricey. But I had planned to do it. And, like, here's the thing is, it's very cool to the point where you're kind of like, all right, you know what? This is, you know, something that I'm okay with. Like, you know, I'm okay doing it, you know?
I think it's one of those things where it's a lot of money, but it's worth it. It's like when you go skydiving, that's a lot of money. But if you really want to skydive, you're going to pay for it.
Well, yeah, because of safety and everything. Like, here's the thing is, like, this is an experience, like, I don't think it's for everyone. I agree. I don't think everyone's going to do Secrets of the Empire. But for a Star Wars fan, like I said, this thing is sold out. Like, it was sold out. Like, I tried to do it on, my dad was like, oh, well, we'll go Sunday. I said, cool, we'll do a family outing. Completely sold out on Sunday. And I was like, okay, then we'll go another day. And it was sold out, like, we had to end up doing, like, a Monday at 11:15. And then, like, we were going to go, like, so just to give you an idea of how it happened, it was going to be, like, Monday at 11:15, we got two tickets for myself and my wife, and, you know, we have the baby, obviously, and so we were going to go, like, at 11:45 a second time with my mom and me, and, you know, we just traded the baby off, and I was like, I'll just do it twice, so that way I can experience it once, and then one, like, really dive in so I can talk about it on the show. Well, they were sold out of, like, even though there was times, because it's only four per experience through, like, I guess every 15 minutes. They had only one ticket at 11:45, and they were sold out all the way up until like 6 o'clock for two tickets. And I'm like, well, we're not going to spend all day here because we literally went to Downtown Disney just to eat lunch and to do this. So my mom ended up going on her own, which she still had a blast. And she was just like, not about it. But it, you know, it was one of those things where it is $30. But like I said, it's a completely different experience than I've had anywhere else because it's not just a normal VR. And I've done the PlayStation VR. I've done the, you know, the Google, what do you call it, cardboard VR and stuff. And that stuff's all really cool. This is VR also, but it's a moving component. You know, when you look at, you know, what they say about the Void, you know, the Void is a full sensory immersive experience. And you and your friends and family walk around inside the action. It's location based, like you literally are walking through stuff. I will say there are two things in it that really freak you out. The first time your shuttle gets stopped, you're told to walk out on the gangplank. I was told previously that just to walk out and trust that it's there because you're not really on a small thing. So if you walked off the gangplank, you won't actually fall into the lava. But you go to Mustafar, so like it's hot. You know, it's meant to feel hot and stuff like that. There's some sensory smell stuff that's released. But it's one of those things, my wife made a comment that, like, because the heat, you know, you're almost fresh. She's like, it shouldn't smell like burning hickory. You know, obviously in Kentucky where you have a lot of barbecue, she's like, it would smell like sulfur. I'm like, yeah, but do you really want rotting egg smell while you're walking? You're paid money to smell that. She's like, no, I get it. But, like, it's heat and you smell smoke and you kind of go through all this. And again, you're fully covered with the VR stuff. But the gangway that you walk on is fairly small. And you just need to walk and trust that it's there. And that was like the one thing. And then you're on a platform. I don't know if we actually went upstairs like an elevator or not, but you're on a floating platform that's moving across. And like, I got a little disoriented, but again, I'm also looking around. You see K2 on another platform moving up. You see all four of you who are there, like on the same platform. And you're just like, oh gosh, are we going to fall off? But you felt the sensation of moving, not just the VR, but like your feet felt the vibration. So we could have been on.
Yeah,
I couldn't tell if it was actually an elevator, because I know we went up and down a couple elevators and stuff, or if it was just like a vibration pad or something like that was meant to feel like it. But I know the Void occupies multiple stories in the building we went to, so it could easily have been that, like, you got in an elevator, you went up, you walked through a door, and then you went through this maze that they have set up, and then you ended up walking, you know, taking the elevator back when you escaped. So it could easily have been that, but I don't know. I had a headset on and everything around me was Mustafar and this, you know, Rebel Empire base.
Well, yeah, I think it all depends on, like, that's the beauty of VR. As long as you have the space set up to match what the space is in the virtual reality, then, like, you could just have it in an empty warehouse for all you.
Yeah, for all I know, well, I will say this. I know for a fact one door I went to touch because it was closed and my hand went through it, which was really awkward because, like, you see this gloved stormtrooper hand, and I go to touch the door and it goes through the door. So I'm like, okay, so I know that's not really there. So I know the door wasn't actually there. But then another door we were trying to get through, I was like, oh, I wonder if this was fake too. And I went to go push, and it was an actual door. Like, you know, it's like an elevator door that we were trying to get a code. And then I know you had to interact with, like, real items. Like, K2's like, hey, I need you to go ahead and, you know, break the code. I'm going to help you out with it. I'll flash the lights of which buttons you need to press. You need to do it in the specific sequence that I have you do. It was like a game of Simon. So, like, while someone's doing this game of Simon, a bunch of stormtroopers come out and you have to fight them off. So the person I was with was trying to do this game of Simon. They couldn't do it. So I ended up taking over and doing a little bit of it. But while doing that, like, obviously stormtroopers were shooting. I got hit once and the vest vibrated. Like, it was almost like the easiest way to describe it, like, was like if you ever did laser tag, that's kind of what it was like. But obviously, like, I was like, ah, stormtrooper hit me. Someone take him out. It was really cool just, like, have everyone work together and do it. So, yes, it is kind of pricey. It was $30 for Secrets of the Empire. But I cannot recommend it enough. If you are a Star Wars fan, definitely do it. Even if you do it yourself. Like, there was people who were just, like, by themselves doing it. But you're still part of a group of four. I want to do it again. I'll be going back out to California in September for a family wedding. And I'm like, okay, I need to plan who I'm going to go with. There's going to be the four of us. We're going to be a squad. We're going to do it this way. Like, I'm like all stoked and excited to be able to do it. So definitely check out Secrets of the Empire at Anaheim, Florida, or in London if you have the chance. It's worth the $30. Moving on. I know that was news, but not news. So, you know, it was news. Anyway, moving on.
It was a review.
It was a review of Secrets of the Empire. There you go. Moving on. Ewan McGregor has stated previously and multiple times he is happy to do an Obi-Wan movie, and I would love to see Ewan McGregor reprise his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know, what's really funny is beyond this article that is written on Hypeable about Ewan McGregor talking about how he's willing to do, you know, step back into the Star Wars world and take on his role as Obi-Wan Kenobi again. There was an interview, I can't remember where it was from. I thought I saved it on my phone while I was flying back. But there was an interview with Liam Neeson, who said, you know, it's Star Wars, people come back to life all the time. I'd be willing to come back too as Qui-Gon. Like, remember at the end of Revenge of the Sith, Yoda tells Obi-Wan, your old master has come back, and we've seen him come back, like, in the Force Dreams and the Clone Wars and stuff like that. So it'd be really cool to see, like, Obi-Wan talking to Qui-Gon Jinn, even as a Force ghost or something like that, and have them reprise those roles to tie into a completely new story. I don't know. I think that would be really cool.
Sounds like a plan to me. Like, even if it was him, because part of it was, like, it's not like Qui-Gon did it and then they all knew how to do it. That information had to get passed on. So maybe he shows up to teach Obi-Wan how to do it.
Yeah, and that's how...
So that, you know, when it comes to time, he knows.
Mm-hmm. And that would be how Obi-Wan's able to sacrifice himself at the Death Star. I will say, my only problem with an Obi-Wan standalone film, I know fans have a huge interest in this, is Rebels has dealt with Obi-Wan a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, it would have been really cool if Rebels kind of left the whole Darth Maul Obi-Wan encounter open and unknown, because that totally could have been the film there. At the same time, like, I get people being like, wait, how did Darth Maul come back to life? Like, stuff like that. Like, I get that. And I'm sure there's other adventures Obi-Wan does, but in the movie, or in the show, it really put the point that Obi-Wan is purely watching over Luke Skywalker. And you have the comments from, like, Owen Lars and stuff like that, you know, he's an old man, I wanted you to stay away, you know, he wanted Luke to stay away from him, because he doesn't want Luke to follow in those Jedi steps. But at the same time, I'm sure there could be some interesting story that takes place there. Yeah, and one of our Patreons, Brack, just said, Obi-Wan hanging out on Tatooine for 20 years doesn't sound like a very exciting film. You know, and that's the point. Like, I don't know, like, what it could be. Like, a young Obi-Wan film would be cool, but then I think at the same time people would just be upset because Ewan McGregor did such a good job as a young Obi-Wan, and then you have someone taken on again.
Maybe something happens where he has to leave for a weekend and he goes on a road trip, and that's the movie. Like, I'm sure they would make something up if they thought that it was worth the money and the time.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. We'll see what happens. But the plot for the Solo film has been revealed. Well, I don't know if it's really the plot, but a quick synopsis has been released from Disney, which I'm kind of excited for. Moving on to standalone films that are not Obi-Wan related. And actually, you know what? It's really cool. At Disneyland, because like I said, I was just there, they actually have Solo, a Star Wars Story merchandise already, which is really cool. Obviously, lots of Last Jedi stuff, but they actually already have Solo merchandise. So I don't know.
Because the movie's not even done.
Or, you know, trailer. We're trailer.
Yeah.
Done yet.
But we'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, but we'll get to that in a minute. But anyway, the synopsis for Solo, a Star Wars story, which will be released May 25th, 2018, unless they decide to change it. So the new synopsis is, board the Millennium Falcon and journey to a galaxy far, far away. In Solo, a Star Wars story, an all-new adventure with the most beloved scoundrel in the galaxy. Through a series of daring escapes deep within the dark and dangerous criminal underworld, Han Solo meets his mighty future co-pilot Chewbacca and encounters the notorious gambler Lando Calrissian. And a journey that will set course of one of the Star Wars saga's most unlikely heroes. Okay, like, what do you think about that? Like, this is what's interesting. It's the story of Han Solo meeting Chewbacca and Lando.
That's a lot. Like, I guess I always assume that there was such a time difference between him meeting Chewie and meeting Lando that they would be separate stories. So I think I just assumed Chewie would always be a part of it.
Yeah, well, I knew Chewie would be there. We knew Chewie was going to be part of it. We saw it in, like, the first photos taken from the cast. I just
meant, like, they would already be friends at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. Han Solo meets his mighty future co-pilot, Chewbacca. Like, I think that's really... The adjective in there is just, like, his mighty future co-pilot. Like...
That's a lot. Yeah, that's a lot.
The mighty Chewbacca. Like, I don't know. Like, it just seems... I don't know. Whatever. I will say, you're right. If for a single film to show, like, three origin stories, it seems like a little much. But I will say this. Like, I love Donald Glover, and I was so excited that he got cast as Lando. I think Lando being in it, I'm okay with the film already. Like, I've said that through all the episodes. I'm like, yeah, I'm going to see it for Lando. We'll see, you know. I will say, the one thing that bothers me is, out of all the press release stuff that came out of... Disney for their 2018 film slate, where they show Incredibles 2, Wreck-It Ralph 2, Mary Poppins sequel, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Which
comes out in Christmas.
Yeah. What's really funny is all these films are accompanied with press release photos, except Solo.
Yeah, because, so one's July 6th, November 2nd, December 25th, November... So, June... So, Incredibles is, like, the next closest. Mm-hmm. June 15th. But all... And, like, there's July. But all the rest are November and December. They all have pictures. But the May movie does not.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, segues into the next topic.
Yeah, which talks to it. So, apparently, Solo is back in reshoots. No, not the reshoots that changed from Chris Miller, Phil Lord. Yeah. But the reshoots for the film currently, which now here's the thing is like reshoots happen all the time. Like it's not something to get worried about, not something to get freaked out about. I know when Rogue One went into reshoots, people flipped out, but reshoots do happen all the time. It's like, as you edit, you're like, oh, what do you mean? We don't have a shot from that angle to be able to show this or a shot to do this. Like reshoots happen all the time, but they're reshoots of the reshoots. And
you know, we know that they're reshoots of the reshoots, or they're just reshoots?
It's more reshoots, but it's not reshoots of it has what they already did. So obviously we've had three directors on this film. Yeah. The duo that got booted out by Lucasfilm, and I think rightfully so, like based on the stuff that came out of it. I don't think they were sticking to the Lucasfilm vision. And you got to remember, Lucasfilm and Disney want to protect their franchise. You know, they have franchise in Marvel and Star Wars. And obviously, they just got Fox, so they have more. But it's one of those things where this franchise is connected together. That's why there's the Lucasfilm Story Group, where comics and books and all these things are meant to tie together, right? And from what I understand, that those directors were kind of going off on their own and making Han Solo appear to be different. And kind of telling a little bit different story than what Lucasfilm wanted, which is not going to tie into the connectivity of Star Wars, which is why I personally love Star Wars, because it's such a big universe, big world and everything. But, you know, that's just, you know, that's how that is, if you will. But, yeah, so these are reshoots of the reshoots when Ron Howard came in. So when Ron Howard came in, he had to do a whole bunch of reshoots to retell the story you know, the way that Lucasfilm wanted. These are just reshoots on that. So, like, no other directors being added to it. It's just he's going back and doing some reshoots. Now, it could be something that was not reshot, and as everything else turned out and was redone, it's like, hey, this doesn't really work, and they need to redo it. But I'm okay with reshoots. But is it time to worry about it? Because, you know, when you look at it now, it's January. May is less than 5 months away, and they're still shooting.
I guess when I read it, when they said reshoots of reshoots, I'm like, are they really reshooting what they reshot? Or are they just reshooting because when they originally did the reshoots, they didn't predict that they were going to need something else?
Well, done. And it could be reshoot. So, like, here's the thing. So you have to think of it as two different productions. And, they, you know, I think the story of reshoots is kind of a joke, if you will. But so yeah. Think of it as two different productions, one with the duo directors and one with Ron Howard. This is reshoots of Ron Howard. Ron Howard is shooting additional footage. Now, the problem is we don't know if it's reshoots of stuff that he shot. Like I said, it could be something as simple as, hey, we're missing a angle here, and we're missing something to help explain this to get from point A to point B. A good example, in Rogue One, they talked about the reshoots were specifically the final battle on Scarif was originally the data center and the tower to go ahead and broadcast it were two different sections. And so they had all this footage of them running, which we saw in the trailers that was not actually in the film, running with the data tape across the, you know, sand and stuff like that to the new tower. It was just too slow. Pacing didn't work. So they needed to reshoot certain things to go ahead and get the story to flow and move along. These are things that happen in editorial. So this tells me one thing really good about the film. That the film is at a point where editorial is moved along so well that they're almost done editing it, and they've noticed there is a few spots that they need to reshoot for to make it flow better. Does that make sense?
I think that makes more sense than what I was thinking, because I remember, and I can't remember the character or the actor's name, but they originally had another character in there, and when they did the original reshoots, his schedule didn't allow him to return, so they kind of had to cut him out and they must have done something with that storyline. So I was wondering, maybe when they went to go do it, it wasn't lining up, but they would have figured that out before they started the editing process.
Yeah, no, I get that.
So I don't think that's what it is anymore.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about it. The biggest thing, though, is they also comment about not having a trailer for it, and we don't have a trailer for Solo. I am concerned that it's not out till it's coming out in May, and we still don't have a trailer. But at the same time, you have to remember, Rogue One was in theaters around the same time as The Last Jedi. And Last Jedi, we didn't get the first trailer of Last Jedi till April. So, April of this year. So, you have April leading up to December. So, obviously, that's a longer leeway than now. So, if you take that same leeway to That's double the amount of time. You know, but April is month 4 and December is month 12. So, you know, you have 8 months there of kind of early hype, if you will. But you notice that the first trailer for Last Jedi, even though we got the first trailer for Force Awakens almost a year in advance, or 2 years in advance, this is also one of those things where they also waited until the hype and the Blu-ray for Rogue One and all those things had come out, so Rogue One can run its course. The same thing I feel is true with The Last Jedi. So I feel like they're going to wait for the trailer, but then unlike the previous ones where we get a single teaser trailer and then we wait months until the next one, I feel like we're going to get a couple of them back to build up to it if they keep that May release date. Do you agree?
I'm at this point, I'm just like, well, I have, like, let it be what it is, and then we'll see what comes out at the end. Like, either way, like, obviously, we are going to go see it, whether the trailer comes out today or whether it doesn't come out till April. We're still going to go see it. It's just for them marketing to the non, like, regular fans who may not remember that that's a thing. But most people, like, I don't know, like, many people, they'll see trailers months in advance and be like, oh, I want to see that. Then they kind of forget about it until more information gets released or it gets talked about more. So whether they do it now or later, I don't think it's going to affect them too much.
Yeah. You know.
Anyways.
We'll see. Moving on, and last bit of news before we kind of move on is Rian Johnson has tweeted many, many things. But two things he's tweeted, one of my favorites so far, is about The Last Jedi. In particular, one of the criticisms out there is Luke being able to project himself onto the battlefield from his island. Now, that's an old Jedi, you know, that was in Legends, it was in lots of different books, it was also in the, it was used in the Yuuzhang Vong kind of a scenario overview, that series. It was also used in Legacy of the Force. Which was New Jedi Order was Yuuzhang Vong. So it's using a lot of stuff that's not canon anymore. But Rian Johnson tweeted out, not even saying anything about the astral projection / doppelganger Jedi ability to kind of project himself. He tweeted out a series of pictures showing his bookshelf at home. Then a close-up of a group of books called The Jedi Path and the Book of Sith, which are great coffee table-style books of Jedi stuff and just information and encyclopedia. My favorite part is it has like handwritten notes in there, like as if it was written by like someone who had done it. The Rebel Files has stuff like that too. And he goes to a page, you know, pulls off the Jedi Path, pulls out a page that says Advanced Force Techniques, finds the page that has Doppelganger or Summa Ferrutis, which permits a Jedi to create a short-lived duplicate of himself or herself in an external object visually indistinguishable from the real item. And then at the end, he shows a picture of Homer Simpson backing into the bushes. So I like it how he's just like, no, I know Star Wars. You know, I will say I liked Last Jedi, and I liked that we got to see a lot of things that we've never seen before in Star Wars before. You know, we saw a little bit of Force speed that Obi-Wan and Qui-Gon do on, you know, in Phantom Menace. We saw like Force jumping and stuff, but this was really cool to see some unique Force abilities, both with Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill doing different things that we've never seen before. So I was happy with it. What do you think about this series of tweets?
Well, personally, I just like not so much the specifics, but the fact that he goes from like just tweeting this, like the eyeball emoji, to this bookshelf. Like he goes from large view just slowly down, like, oh, look at this bookshelf, look at this selection of books, look at this particular book, look at this page, look at the words on the page, and I'm gonna disappear back. But yeah, I like when we get this new information, and I feel like it makes sense to me story-wise, because when you have a society that they get taught the same things and it gets handed down, things get forgotten, and just the standard stuff goes out. But because, for example, Luke, he only got the basics, and yes, he has the books, but then it's his own creativity. He's not kind of chained down to the standard training that most Jedi would have had. It allows him to get a little bit more creative with the abilities that the Force provides him.
Yeah.
Is why we've probably never seen it before. Like, that's not something we've seen Darth Vader do to try and win a battle, or it's not something that Qui-Gon Jinn or Obi-Wan committed before. And think of the amount of like training and practice you would have to do to get it right. And it actually makes me happy just picturing Luke projecting himself all across Octu and startling the caretakers.
Oh, the caretakers in the movie. But yeah, it's, you know, it's, he knows the film. Like, it took me a while to like for Last Jedi. But you know, he crafted something that was completely unique and wonderful. And people, I love how people like argue against it. And I'm okay with arguing against it. Like, there are some things that beats and stuff that made me feel uncomfortable. Mainly Luke Skywalker's portrayal was the thing that I took most offense to. But at the same time, I know. But at the same time, I was thinking of the legend of Luke Skywalker. And obviously, all the Legends books and everything I grew up with. And even the book Legends of Luke Skywalker kind of made me think back to the book and kind of put it in perspective. Although I will say, you know, it's one of those things where I wish Luke had been, you know, I wish Luke had come back and been Luke Skywalker that I wanted, because then the movie, but then again, it wouldn't be a new series about the new people. Does that make sense? Like, it would just be, it'd be Luke Skywalker's trilogy all over again.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And I get why it was done. I do want to go into, Donya posted this here, but Polygon had an article about Star Wars The Last Jedi cast dunks on sexist fan edit that cut out women. So I'm going to go back and just kind of talk about this real quick. So there is actually, from Pedestrian, they talk about a 46-minute cut of The Last Jedi that edited out all women. And obviously people on Twitter have gone off on about this, and I think it's kind of childish to cut out more than half the film to cut out women. I don't know why, especially since it's a glitch. You know, it's one of those things where it's a glitch to where, you know, where they, I don't know. Like, why would you do that? Like, the story doesn't make sense. It's a cam version. It's not, like, I don't know. Like, I can't fathom doing that. I don't know. Caitlin, what are your thoughts on this? Like, it's just ridiculous. I think
what bothers me is if the characters had been male, nobody would have tried to take the characters out of this movie.
Yeah, I could see, like, trying to re-edit the film. Like, we saw re-edits of the Phantom Menace with Jar Jar Binks removed. Here's the thing. Jar Jar Binks is an auxiliary character where he doesn't do, you know, there are some important things he does. Like, if you try to edit him out of Revenge of the Sith, you know, he is the one who does the vote of no confidence. You know, that gives the Emperor power, you know what I mean? Or actually, I guess that's Attack of the Clones. So without him in Attack of the Clones, there would be no idea of how the Emperor becomes the Emperor. But like in a Phantom Menace, like, okay, you can cut him out. But in this, like, Rey is super important to the storyline. Like, ridiculously important if you cut her out. Leia is super important. Rose is super important. And Holdo is really important. Like,
well, and like I said, if any of those characters had been, in fact, male, they wouldn't have done this. And, like, I don't have a problem with, like, things that get fan-edited in the sense that, like, I've seen a redone version of The Hobbit that rearranges the plot and cuts some unnecessary things out to make, like, it's a very long movie, but it's a really, actually good version of the story of The Hobbit. This doesn't help the story. It doesn't, like, it does nothing but make these people look like idiots, essentially. Sexist idiots. Because, like I said, if the characters had been male, there wouldn't, I question whether there would be as much criticism as there is.
Yeah. I will say the title of it, if you wanted to look on it on torrent sites, which I don't recommend doing because the film is obviously not The Last Jedi, it's called The Last Jedi Defeminized Fan Edit, which I guess accomplishes the goal of removing almost any appearance of women in the film. I will say Rian Johnson responded with ha 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 as Priscilla hits all the major points, kind of telling people this is ridiculous. Mark Hamill agreed with the sideways laughing emoji. And then John Boyega, he's like, one final point to make, and it's the crying laughing emoji to the people, you know, to the people talking about the edit, which I will say, you know, at the same time, there's fan edits have a point sometimes, but this one just is like in the mean, cruel spirited way. So I would probably be like,
yeah. And they don't read the comments on it. Because it just gets you mad.
It just gets you angry. All right, let's just
happier things. Happier things.
That's what I said. Let's move on to our spotlight topic, which is my favorite thing to talk about, which is Star Wars Rebels. I love Star Wars Rebels. But it's coming to an end. I'm so sad about it. So, let's talk a little bit about Season 4 and the new trailer that just came out. All right, so first of all, I just want reactions. So, Caitlin, tell me your reaction to this trailer overall.
Well, at the beginning, I'm not going to lie. I'm like, it was a good voiceover and, like, back, like, reminders of things. But I was like, when are we getting to the new stuff? I want to know what's going to happen.
And then the very last bit is a little bit of the new stuff. But I think...
half the trailer is old stuff, the other half is new stuff, and I think I just kind of, like, my eyes didn't know where to look because it was just so fast paced. I watched it multiple times to finally kind of absorb what I was watching, because it was really intense.
Well, I'll tell you this: when you see the Aladdin hair on Ezra, you know that's from the old stuff.
Oh yes, exactly. That was a big clue right there.
But I will say this. So my overall thoughts on this is I actually really liked that they went back to the beginning and showed stuff from season one, season two, season three, and even stuff, a few things from the beginning of season four.
I should clarify, I'm not saying it's a bad thing, but I was also like very excited to see the new stuff. So I was like, this is a good refresher and reminder, and it brings in a nostalgic moment and reminds you what's important going into the end of this, because you know it's, I don't think it's going to have necessarily a happy ending. But at the same time, I was like, I want to see what's coming up. I'm very impatient.
No, I hear you. I do like, I like how there's comments about Kenan's hair right off the bat from everybody. I do like that they've pulled in a lot, like they reference a lot of classic stuff, like from the first season, second season, questions that are not talked about, specifically like Lirasan, you know, where, you know, the new Lothal, the connection to the Force that Zeb had with the other people from Lasat, the Convors that are on, you know, Sabine's armor, and just that, like, you know, Ezra says, I remember you. The Lothal Wolves, Mortis, and when you talk about Mortis from Clone Wars, which is probably the biggest story arc that people constantly talk about. I posted a picture. Yeah, which I posted in our Discord earlier. It's a picture of the father, the son, the daughter. And what's interesting, I noticed when I froze the screenshot and I took the screenshot, is you see a stormtrooper, a biker scout there looking at it and kind of glowing. And you also see, like, behind it is also a, looks like a Jedi temple, which looks like the temple that we've seen on Lothal multiple times. And it would make sense since that's where Ezra is, and if that stormtrooper in a biker scout costume is actually Ezra. But the Convor, the bird, is actually on the daughter's shoulder. So there's, like, a lot of hidden stuff in here that I think Filoni is trying to tie together. So I'm just really excited to see where all this is going to go. One of the biggest things in the trailer that caught me was we no longer have just a holo projection of the Emperor, because we've had the Emperor pop up in a couple different episodes as special guests, kind of like Darth Vader pops up every so often, and James Earl Jones voiced the Darth Vader before, but they've had a different actor voice the Emperor just in the holo projections. In this back half of season four, the last bit, the finale of the series, Ian McDiarmid is back at voicing the Emperor. So he's reprising his role as Emperor Palpatine. So I'm really excited to hear him and have him have new lines and stuff. Just because it's kind of awesome, like, to have, like, all those people come back and just be who they were. So,
well, and it gives a weight of epicness.
It does. You know, so you have... Man, I'm just like flipping through as we're talking about this. It just looks so crazy, especially since the Emperor is talking and knows who Ezra Bridger is.
Finally,
in my glass. Like, I am really excited for the end of this. I'm going to be really sad to see where it goes, but what makes me happy is I know this is just going to be the beginning of what's going to happen with, you know, what's going to happen with the new Star Wars, like, TV shows. Because you know they're going to do more TV shows. They're already working on something else. And Dave Filoni has said that he's excited to see where live-action Star Wars TV shows can go. So I feel like Rebels is stopping because of that. But I do want to talk a little bit about the plot of this, or any thoughts beyond it. So they showed a lot of the previous stuff from season 1, 2, and 3. Specifically stuff that might have been things that stood out to us, or stuff that we also saw in, you know, in Clone Wars. How much do you think they can focus on some of those plot lines? Like, a good example was the Lirasan one, where you see Zeb, Kanan, and Ezra kind of going with the ghost through hyperspace. You know, they mentioned it once that, like, don't worry, the ghost recorded the path we got through, so we can get there anytime, is what Hera says. And we know Lasat, Lasan was the first planet to openly rebel against the Empire, and that's why the Lasat species was all but, annihilated. How much time do you think they can dedicate to some of those open-ended mysteries, even though they pointed to them in the trailer? What do you think, Caitlin?
Well, obviously it depends on the depth that they go into it. Like, if we're going to Lirasan, then yes, it's going to take, I would hope, more than just a 20-30 minute episode. But if it's some of the people come back from Lirasan to help in the end, then it would
that would make sense, because again, they previously rebelled. Yeah, like that's the thing, is there's so many questions, like the fate of Ahsoka, the fate of Ahsoka, Lirasan, what else is going on with the rebellion right now? Because again, our rebel group is kind of almost snuck away from the main rebellion, and we know that the first major conflict between the Rebel Alliance, the whole Alliance, not just a Rebel Cell, but the combined Rebel Alliance, is at Scarif. Like, that's the first one. So there's obviously a conflict here between our Rebel group, our Cell, the crew of the Ghost, our Rebels, and obviously Thrawn. And what's interesting is there's also going to be a Thrawn novel coming out soon, which I don't know if it's going to take place between this and what happens to Thrawn later on. The synopsis of that book is having Thrawn team up with Vader. So there's going to be, obviously we've seen Vader in this series and stuff like that, so there's going to be some interesting connective tissue between this, hopefully, and the new Thrawn novel. But we also have the return of Hera, which I'm glad she's safe. I don't think that we were ever not going to get her rescued, because you have two capable Jedi and a bunch of friends who are going to be like, okay, let's go get her free. So I definitely think she was going to do that. But in that process, Kanan cut his hair, and everyone expects her to tell him one thing, like, I love you, and he's going to do the I know line. But instead, she says, I hate your hair. What do you think of that?
I think it's appropriate, but I think my favorite part was when she's standing with the stormtroopers and she goes, oh, you're in so much trouble. And you just see the lightsaber come up and do a circle up. And he just drops down. I'm like, oh, that was so good.
Yeah, that was pretty, I will say that's pretty good. I do like that we see some new ships and stuff, stuff that we haven't seen before, some of the patrol ships. I do like, it's interesting is, we talked about the Convor, the bird that was originally in Clone Wars and has showed up a couple times in Rebels and is on Sabine's armor.
And it seems to be around Ahsoka a lot, too.
Yeah, around Ahsoka a lot. I'm going to take a screenshot here for you guys to see. But there's this part in the trailer where Ezra is walking in this kind of black void.
Ask about that.
Yeah, I feel like it's a Force vision, almost, is what I would say. Is what I would think it is, but I don't know. Like, I don't. I feel like it's a Force vision.
Caitlin just figured it out. Your thing's about to pop up.
There it is. Got like pictures. It's got like kinda, circles, and
it's kind of like hard to see. And I don't. Maybe I'm remembering this correctly, but is he not wearing a stormtrooper ranger?
He's wearing a scout trooper. He's wearing a scout trooper armor,
See in front of the Mortis,
painting of the father, son, daughter. And I will say this, I was pretty sure that stormtrooper was probably Ezra, because it's a scout trooper, and he always dresses as a scout trooper. And I know scout trooper armor from anywhere, just because I've been building it, so that pump on the back is pretty obvious to spot if you know the different armor troopers. But yeah, so he's there talking to some, to the bird in this crazy, void, if you will. And obviously the connection with the Loth Wolves, which we said might have a connection to Ahsoka. There's just so many connections here.
Well, that the scout trooper is standing in front of the mural, and then you see the daughter with the Convor on her shoulder, and then we see this scene where he's in, or appears to be in, the scout trooper uniform, and then he sees the Convor.
Yeah.
And yeah, so he sees a Convor. If it's like a representation or a reintroduction of the daughter, because when I was looking up, I'm like, okay, when have we seen the Convor before? And two of the episodes that I can find a description that lists the Convor was listed in the same paragraph or description of Ahsoka being there.
Yeah. Well, so, you know what's interesting is the Convor is on a hand of the daughter, and the son, and that's like, again, if you go back to the picture I posted, or the, if you freeze frame at 205, when the scout trooper has its helmet visor raised up, looking at the picture of this, again, like I mentioned, it looks like it's on the Jedi Temple that we see on Lothal, and you see the father, the son, and the daughter. The daughter's hand is in a circle, which is what's holding the Convor. Now, the Convor is kind of raised up. But the Convor, son is also just a fist, too.
The Convor is on her shoulder.
Is it? Was that? But her, okay. It looks like, is it on her shoulder? Yeah. It looks like there's something else going on.
Her, like, I guess her left hand is reaching across almost to her right hip, and it's circled in gold, but the Convor is on her right shoulder.
All right. Yeah, I thought, I didn't know if it was on her shoulder or if she was holding something that was holding it up.
No, she has crazy 80s shoulder pads on.
Okay. Well, then never mind. My theory of, like, the hands gestures.
Yeah, because they all, like the father, all circled. The father's hand, the son's hand, and the daughter's hand, they're all, and it's all their left hands, too, actually, now that I look at it, are all circled in gold.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. This could just be really cool art that was done for the show and have no meaning to. Like all Star Wars things. Like all Star Wars things, we try to tie everything together. And we know Rey's parents are just is Luke. But, you know, we try to tie everything together. Okay, that's a bad joke. Anyway. But yeah, I'm just excited for Rebels because it's coming back. I mean, what was the date? I have the date here. I wrote down. Comes back February 19th on Disney XD.
A month. It's a month.
A month from now. I'm sure we'll get one more trailer between then because they do a really good job of hyping up Rebels because, you know, it's Star Wars Rebels. But what do you think about with Mortis and the Emperor? Like, I feel like the Emperor is in that same kind of scene, but maybe it can be a completely different episode and that's just kind of tied together because of editing. But I feel like something is going to happen between, like, Ezra, the Emperor, and Ahsoka. Like, I feel like that's not a, or maybe it's the Emperor, Ahsoka, and Vader, or Ezra and Vader and the Emperor, or something like that. Because we know that Anakin Vader was supposed to take the place of the father. That was like clearly told in the Clone Wars. And we have Ezra now, and we have, you know, the Emperor, and we have, you know, the Inquisitor is still around, but haven't shown up in a while. So, like, I'm excited to see where all this Force lore stuff can take us. I think that's what I love about Star Wars, is all the lore that can tap in.
Yeah, like, it's almost like a mythology, and I love learning about, like, Greek mythology and stuff in school, so I think that's why I'm so, like, Mortis! And I got super excited when I saw the mural back, because it was tying in from Clone Wars, too.
Yeah. Again, it's that connective tissue between all of the Star Wars properties. So I will say this. I don't know. I don't want to just do a scene for scene breakdown because it's just the two of us. Yeah. But is there any other thoughts? I know, again, we talked about our first excitements of it. We do see Rook fighting Ezra. We see Sabine with Ezra's green lightsaber in one scene with Hondo in another scene. So there's a lot of really cool stuff that happens. We just don't know how it's actually going to tell a story because that's how, you know, they cut these trailers to be super exciting.
Another one of my favorite shots is, I think that's when Ezra does the voiceover and saying, I know what I'm supposed to do or something. And you kind of see him and his eyes glow blue. And then you see the yellow wolf eyes on either side of his head. And he clicks on the lightsaber and you see the other wolves.
Yeah, that's actually really cool when they do, you know, he has a whole, like, posse behind him, or friends, family behind him.
Yeah, I'm also going to point out, all three of those wolves that show up in that scene have yellow eyes, but there's another scene where he comes face to face, like, he gets really close with one of the wolves, and the wolf has blue eyes.
No, that's not a wolf. He gets really close with it's not a wolf, it's the, that's a flashback scene when he gets close to the creatures, the space creatures that fly through hyperspace, and he's like I was able to talk to them, and it's those their eyes that were blue.
So okay, it's not the wolf. It's looks not, like a it's wolf. Not the wolf, but maybe
it wasn't a wolf. It was like a, I would say, a space whale. It's kind of Elizabeth.
Yeah, because I remember that episode. I think maybe the flashes were too quick, and so it just looked like a wolf to me, because I was looking for wolves.
Because, again, the wolves have been there. And then also in the poster, you see the Luffle cats and everything that are there. It's... You know, there's lots of cool things. The poster, I will say, it makes me hyped about it also, just because you see all the Star Destroyers there. You also have Thrawn talking about bombard the city, just destroy it. So it's destroying the main city, which is like...
Which I find interesting, because, like, I guess this is kind of like a secret reveal. I still haven't watched the first part of season 4, because I don't have access to it. But, or at least not yet, but last time I seen Thrawn, like, he was always so manipulative and strategic, and him saying, oh, just bomb the city, just, it, obviously at this point he's just getting frustrated with this cat and mouse game.
Yeah. Nope, I agree. All right, well, I'm going to call it there. We can get into this further when we get more people on, but I think we'll get more information by the time we get Danya and everyone else back. Anything else you want to add about the mid-season trailer that just popped up this week?
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast or on Facebook at facebook.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/ResistanceRadioPodcast. Remember, we also are starting a contest starting Sunday, or this Sunday, if you're listening to it on the day we release this episode. But go to resistanceradio.net or hypable.com and enter in to win a copy of The Rebel Files, which is really cool. As always, I am Mikey B.
And I'm Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.